I'm Sean Crawford for NPR Illinois. This month marks 100 years ago that Illinois became the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. For our Illinois Issues report, Tara McClellan McAndrew wrote about what happened and why Illinois led the way, and I had a chance to speak with her. So Tara, as Illinois voted for this and had the support to ratify this amendment, it still was a radical idea to many.
It was. Some states like Illinois had already granted partial suffrage to women, and so it wasn't as much of a radical idea here as it was in some states where they had not granted any suffrage to women. There were a number of reasons that people opposed suffrage and perhaps even thought it was radical. One was the attitudes of the time about women's role. Women were back then primarily considered to belong at home, to take care of the home front, to take care of the house and the children. And people didn't think they belonged outside of that sphere, especially perhaps in what could be the raucous, rowdy world of politics. And that was considered a manly pursuit. And some women agreed with that belief and thought that they really did belong at home and wanted to be at home. Some people, women included, who opposed suffrage also thought that if they were to enter the world of politics or even business, it would cause marital discord. It could cause family discord. That could even extend into the community and fray the strength of the community. Some women who opposed suffrage felt that their needs politically were already being met. They thought that their husbands or whatever males they had in their life, be it brothers, fathers, etc., would vote in their best interests, and so they saw no need for it. One interesting opposition to suffrage was the liquor industry. Brewers and bars, etc., did not want suffrage because they feared that if women got the right to vote, they would vote to prohibit alcohol. And so they were pretty against that until after prohibition was enacted. And then, well, it had already been done and women didn't even vote on it.
So with all of that opposition that was out there, how did it get through? What really put it over the top?
Suffrage finally started passing in a piecemeal fashion, both in Illinois and across the nation. And suffragists, both here in the state and across the nation, basically fought amongst themselves over the best way to get suffrage accomplished. Should they try it in a piecemeal fashion, state by state, or should they do it on a national level? And they realized that eventually it would have to come down to a national victory. But before that happened, they did all they could to get state by state victories. And within states like ours, Illinois, the suffragists even worked for piecemeal victory. First, they got women the right to vote for school officials. That was in 1891. Then in 1913, the big battle in our state was to get the right to vote for some local officials and presidential electors. And that was granted in 1913 by the state legislature, but it was an enormous battle. So it was a piecemeal effort. Little by little, women got the right.
This was a long battle to get to this point, and maybe that's something people don't realize, that this didn't just rise up within a few years and suddenly it was on the national scene. This had been going on for really a generation or two.
At least, yes. A lot of people stem the suffrage movement back to the Seneca Falls Convention in New York, which first called for women's rights at least by 1869 after the Civil War in Illinois specifically. That's when the first women's suffrage convention was held. So at least in Illinois by 1869, it was an issue. And so many of the women who first started in the movement and calling for women's right to vote were not around to see it when it happened nationally in 1920.
You mentioned some of the arguments against giving women the right to vote at that time. There was also some strategies being employed by the supporters, by the suffragists.
The strategies that suffragists used across the country and in Illinois were varied. In Illinois, they opted to try for piecemeal suffrage to get what little they could and to increase on that in successive years. That's why in 1891, they got the right to vote for school officials. In 1913, they pushed a little farther. They got the right to vote for local offices and presidential electors. specific strategies they used for lobbying and for increasing support for suffrage were pretty interesting. One was to organize car and train trips, both down to Springfield to get suffragists to lobby lawmakers personally, but also for suffragists to go around the state in cars to increase awareness and support of the need for the women's right to vote. One interesting story about strategy and lobbying efforts was that of the Illinois Equal Suffrage Association, which was one of the biggest players in Illinois. They had some really interesting strategies for their supporters to talk to lobbyists. Initially, they had what some considered a kind of hard-handed, in-your-face tactic. And then in Oak Park, woman named Grace Wilbur Trout came along and initiated what some people called a quieter, more womanly campaign. It was very personal. It was focused on one-on-one interactions with lawmakers. They took detailed notes about each lawmaker, kept a very meticulous card system about each lawmaker with these notes, so they could figure out which of their supporters would be the best person to lobby each lawmaker based on whether perhaps that member knew the lawmaker's wives or had something in common with him, and it worked. They also did things like made sure that the House Speaker, when the vote was coming up, got a call from their members every 15 minutes. They even, on the day of the vote, their president stood outside the gallery at the door to the House of Representatives chamber and made sure none of the opposing lobbyists got in during the discussion. Now, I don't know how she could do that today.
We're talking with Tara McClellan McAndrew. She wrote about Illinois being the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. That happened 100 years ago this month. Tara, why was Illinois first?
I think there are two reasons that Illinois was the first to ratify the 19th Amendment. One is that, it was just a natural extension of the rights that Illinois had already granted Illinois women to vote. We'd already gotten the right to vote for many local offices, for school officials, for presidential electors. This was really the natural extension of what they'd already given us. But I think another reason is that Illinois suffragists had worked so hard to get those rights already before 1919 that it was a matter of pride. They wanted Illinois to be first. And in fact, let me read to you a quote from one of those suffragists that was in an article in the Springfield, Illinois State Register on June 9th, 1919, before the Illinois legislature considered the 19th Amendment and whether or not to ratify it. She said, "We want to have Illinois the first state in the Union to ratify the amendment. We were the first state east of the Mississippi to recognize suffrage in any way, and the first state in the Union to grant presidential suffrage. Following in our lead of 1913, other states adopted this measure." So for Illinois suffragists, this was a matter of pride. We've done so much already. We have to be first on this issue.
And there is some question as to whether Illinois was actually first to ratify.
There is some discussion today about whether or not Illinois was the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment. What happened was Illinois was the first state. It voted on our legislature voted on June 10, 1919 in the morning. Both chambers passed a measure to ratify this amendment giving women the right to vote. Later that same day, two other states also ratified the amendment. Then Illinois found that the documents that we had voted on, which were sent to us by Washington, had a typo, according to Illinois State Archives Director Dave Jones, whom I interviewed about this. So just to be safe, a week after we first ratified the amendment, we ratified it again with accurate documents. So now some of the states that voted on that same day as we did, but later in that day, are now saying that they were first. But we literally were the first to take action. And I think no matter how you interpret it, you can't change that fact.
And yet, even among the suffragists, things were not necessarily equal. You write about that.
That's true. One of the issues that we, I think, modern historians might be looking at a little more closely than people of their day was that the suffrage movement was primarily a movement of white middle-class women. One historian, Stephen Beekler, who wrote a book about the Illinois history of suffrage, he talked about this specifically, about how suffrage in Illinois didn't really get what it wanted until it found a way to unite women of all classes. And after that, they were able to get presidential electoral suffrage in 1913. But there was a feeling that there were some states who were saying, vote for suffrage because giving white women the vote will counteract the black male vote. And so there was some racial prejudice in the country about why women should get the vote and should black women get the vote. And because of that, there were some women in this primarily white middle-class movement who were worried that if they kind of publicly stood up and said, we want all women to have the vote, it would work against them because there were people who did not want black women to have the vote.
You can read Tara McClellan McAndrew's reports on the 100th anniversary of Illinois being the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment. A link to her article available at our website at nprillinois.org.